ثم أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him, and we bear witness that there is no God but one God, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His prophet and messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send His peace and blessings and salutations upon His dear and beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's very important to note that we are in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal. And in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, on one of the Mondays, most likely the 12th, but there is narrations that the 19th, the 27th, but on a Monday, and most likely in Rabi'ul Awwal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And because of that birth, the world changed. And he realized that. So he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, why do we see you fasting on Mondays? I mean, what's so special? So he said, that's a day that I was born in. And that's a day that I received the revelation in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his thankfulness to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu by fasting in the month, on Mondays, which puts to end this argument, was the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam significant or not. While we are arguing, should we commemorate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once a year? While we're doing that, Rasulullah was commemorating his birth once a week, not once a year, on Mondays. But the way of Islam, subhanAllah, when you look at it, is different than the Western ways. In the Western ways, if someone wants to celebrate their birthday, they invite all of their friends and they eat so much, you know, you might as well expect a heart attack or a stroke that night from how much pizza and cream and cheese you have eaten. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is to fast that day, not to eat. What a contrast. What a different way of thinking. What a different perspective on life. I thank Allah Azza wa Jal by fasting, by caring less about myself and caring more about others and giving sadaqah and charity. SubhanAllah. It revives your way of thinking. This month of Rabi'ul Awwal, in this day, on Monday, he was born, physical birth. On Monday, he received Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, spiritual birth. And later on, we find out that when he made hijra from Mecca to Al-Madinah, it was on a Monday. And later on, we find out that he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Monday. So while in the Western Hemisphere, everybody hates Monday. Oh, it's the beginning of the week. We love Monday. Monday is the second best day in the week after Friday. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that the best of all months is Ramadan. The best of all days is Yawmul Jumu'ah. And Allah has preserved it for us. Even though we came at the end, we should have had Monday. So the Jews on Saturday, then the Christians came after on Sunday. Then we came, our turn supposed to be Monday, but Allah preserved this day for us and put us first on Friday before everyone else. So alhamdulillah that we are still alive on a day like Friday. Alhamdulillah that we still bear witness that there is no God but one God. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his prophet and messenger. Alhamdulillah that we answered the call of Allah and we came to the masjid. And we are here, the guests of the most generous. When he described himself in the first revelation, the second description of Allah, the first description is he's Rabbik, Rabb. The second is Al-Akram. Iqra' wa Rabbuka Al-Akram. First description of Allah ever. Iqra' bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. Second description, Iqra' wa Rabbuka Al-Akram. SubhanAllah, the most generous. Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to start the relationship with him thinking that he's the most generous. Two things. He's my Lord, meaning he's my protector, my guardian, my provider, my guide, the one who takes care of me. And number two, he doesn't only take care of me and protect me, he does it with so much generosity. Look at this 1-2. Rabbika al-akram. Rabbika al-... That's how you start your journey with Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you bring in the taqwa. And then you bring in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you don't want to lose the Rabb. You don't want to lose the akram. You don't want to be on the other side. For as they have said, our scholars, and Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, if Allah is with you, who can stand against you? And if Allah is against you, who can stand with you? Very simple words, but very profound. So the fear of Allah and that taqwa, it's the fear of losing that relationship. It's the fear of triggering Allah's wrath against us on the level of the individual, on the level of the family, on the level of the nation, and on the level of the ummah. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He forgive our sins and that He continue to give us His blessings. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. We thank Allah, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to emphasize on thanking Allah on Yawm Al-Jum'ah. Because if you're not thankful, then you're not in a positive state. You can only be thankful when you are in a positive state, like you see something good going on in your life. If you are in a positive state, and that positivity leads to you thanking Allah, then now you're ready to receive guidance. But if you're sitting in Salat Al-Jum'ah, upset with your qada and qadar, very negative, angry with yourself, angry with the people around you, angry with Allah Himself, then what guidance are you going to learn? Nothing. You're already shut. You're closed. You're not receiving. So first, you have to be thankful. And I say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, there's no one that Allah created in this dunya, which is called the lowest dunya, that doesn't have a problem. So if you think if you are coming here and you're bringing your problems, that's not polite. Leave your problems at the door, because you have walked and now you are the guest of Rabbika al-Akram. And let Allah Azza wa Jal take care of your problems. And as a matter of fact, we are so embarrassed of our own problems. What is our problems comparing to what the people of Gaza has been going through for almost a year right now? What complaints do we have? What have we lost? Look, we're sitting down secure, safe. We had a breakfast. You have a shelter. Your family is safe. If one of them gets sick, you start thinking which hospital I'm going to take them to. Look, when they have lost everything on behalf of the Muslim Ummah. They're 2 million are taking the pain on behalf of 2 billion people. Rest assured, this is not against the people of Gaza. This is against Muslims all over the world. It's not a coincidence that Muslims are going through so much hardship and wars are puffing up because we made out of war an economy, unfortunately. In Sudan, Libya. What is in Sudan? There's no Sunnah Shia in Sudan or in Libya. The whole country is one madhab. All Libyans are Malikis. They're Sunnis, Malikis. Where is the problem? Has nothing to do with it. It's someone plotting and selling and making an industry. And when you make an industry out of war, if there is no war, that's bad for business. So my dear brothers and sisters, it's our job to wake up and not let the plots run on us. You know, you should always expect an enemy. If you have a family, and this family, right, is strong and together, if someone comes from outside and say to one of the brothers, hey, I'm going to give you $200,000, would you go and kill your brother? If that's a strong family, he will tell him, if you pay me $2 billion, $2 trillion, I will not kill my brother. But when the family is broken and the relationship is broken with Allah and therefore with each other, someone comes and give us $2,000 and you will find a Muslim will kill another Muslim. We need to fix the inside house. We need to go back to our deen, my dear brothers and sisters. So we thank Allah Azza wa Jal and we say, Ya Allah, like you have given us the best of the best. We're really living in Northern California. Yani, there's only about 7-8 billion people wishing to live your life. Only about 7-8 billion people wish to be in your shoes in Northern California in the United States of America. So we are very lucky, extremely indulged in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ni'mas right and left. My dear brothers and sisters, when you're looking at this, you will find that we say, Ya Allah, like you have given us, give the people of Gaza better than what you have given us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, give them peace. Ya Allah, give them security. Ya Allah, give them justice. Ya Allah, give them victory. Ya Allah, give them economy. Ya Allah, secure them of fear and feed them of hunger like you did with Quraysh, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, using the people of Gaza today as our guide, like guiding lamp today, because we definitely are lucky to be living at the same time on the same planet with these people. This is a generation we haven't seen in this ummah since the generation of Sahaba. What they're going through, I'll say this, I used to say it early and people got rubbed off the wrong way, but there is nothing wrong with what I'm saying. If you pay attention, what the people of Gaza are going through the last year, even the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not go through. They went through it, but on a lighter version. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he cried before his death and he said, I miss Ahbabi, my beloved ones. And the Sahaba were surprised. Aren't we your Ahbab? He said, you are my Ashab, but my Ahbab are people who are going to come after you. They haven't seen me. They didn't see the revelation come. And they will go through so much hard time and they will still believe in me. And the Sahaba were like stunned by the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We see that the Sahaba went through so much in Mecca, and they went through siege, embargo, and sanctions. We see that they went through so much in Medina, Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Battle of Al-Khandaq, when they almost lost everything, and the enemy became from the front and the back. But alhamdulillah, the kuffar did not make it to the houses of Sahaba. They didn't kill their wives and children, like what's happening to the people of Gaza right now. And for the people of Gaza to stay strong in their deen and iman is a proof that the goodness in this ummah was not over by the death of Sahaba or a tabi'in or tabi'i tabi'in. That there is khayr in this ummah ila yawm al-qiyamah. And that doesn't make the Sahaba any less, and that doesn't make the people of Gaza any more. We are just looking at the circumstances and saying, alhamdulillah, it's an honor to be living at the same time, on the same planet with these people. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not count us from those who has forsaken them, but from those who helped them. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. We help them with our donation. Do not let people tell you that when you donate to Islamic organizations, to Gaza, that donation does not arrive. This is part of the war, brothers and sisters. We trust our Islamic organizations. I trust them. I see the videos every day of distributing food and water and hot meals and rice and sugar and frying oil. They want us to give up even on donating. The Islamic organizations, one way or another, through the United Nations, are making the help go inside. They want us to give up on the help because that's the last thing that is keeping them alive. If you're not donating, if it's not for your donation of Muslims worldwide, they would have right now, you would hear, 100,000 died of hunger. So please, brothers and sisters, don't stop donating. Don't let this run on you. It's a part of the iftar of the media war. Oh, your help is not going to help. It will help. Oh, your lobbying is not going to help. It does help. It's helping every day, and it's creating a whole new reality. And now the leaders of the Zionist movement are realizing and saying, we need to get rid of this prime minister that is destroying us and destroying. Even his own people are saying that. So don't give up. Whatever we're doing is good. May Allah just accept it from us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the things that I noticed when I was watching the videos, these one-minute videos that come from Gaza, one thing that really struck me deep is that those videos of children crying over their parents that passed away. You see, I do expect from a 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, 12 years old to cry so hard that they lost their mom and dad. But 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, crying like a little child, there's something special here. The relationship between parents and children in Gaza is not normal, is not what we have here. It's very close. There's so much bond that you see a 13 years old is crying, Baba, wake up. Who's going to take me to Salat al-Fajr in the masjid? Who's going to wake me up? Who's going to give me a piece of candy because I prayed? Baba, wake up. And girls crying for their mothers, Mama, wake up. Who's going to make me memorize Quran? Who's going to wake me up for Fajr and then make me memorize Quran? We see this in the videos. I look at that and then I look at our reality here, where it is almost expected, it's almost fard, that a teenager hates and resents his parents. It's part of the culture around us, right? It's part of the culture. And by the way, my dear brothers and sisters, just listen to this nasiha, because you don't know what your children are going through, And I only know because I am in the field of counseling these teenagers. These teenagers, when they hit 13, they go to school, and every child, when they sit down in a circle, is stating how much their parents are giving them hard time and how much they hate their parents. Then when the turn comes to your son and daughter to talk, and they look and say, I don't have a problem. Then all of a sudden, everybody looks at them disgusted. What? You don't have a problem? Ew. You actually love your mom and dad? Oh, please don't sit down with us. Then the child has to come home, has to create a fight with you. You don't know why, where it came from. So that next day he can go to school and tell a story how he fought with you so that he can fit in. You might think I'm just exaggerating. Almost every week I run in a story like that. Every week. So this is very common. This word teenager does not exist in Islam. And this word teenager, 1944, Eugene Gilbert. That's the name of what? Of an employee salesman in Chicago. What was he selling? Shoes. He wanted to make a big commission. He didn't know how to. He wants to make a living for his family. So he's like, I want to sell shoes for adolescent, you know, adolescent boys and girls. But there is the word adolescent is not attractive. So what do we do? He kept on thinking. Teenager. He invented, go and research it, Eugene Gilbert, 1944, shoe seller, ended up determining the fate of teenagers in America, created the term, right? And the other way, in Europe, they were struggling in the Second World War. They ran out of men. They all died in the war. So they start saying, okay, who's drafted? Okay, 25, no, 22, no, 21, no, 20. They ran out of all 20s. 19, is 19 a child or not a child? Okay, we don't have men. Anyway, 19. Okay, 18. Is 18 a child or we don't have men? Okay, enroll the 18. Okay, 17. Then the Second World War ended and they stopped at 18. And that's the age a child can join the army. That was a problem in Europe because they ran out of men. 77 million people died between the First World War and the Second World War. So to excuse kids from the war, I understand you want to call them teenagers. To sell a kid shoes for marketing, okay, I understand. But now to use this term to excuse a young person, a young adult from his brain, like, oh, you're supposed to be unintelligent. You're supposed to be rebellious. You're supposed to be, because he's a teenager. What is a teenager? In Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal give us two words. Mukallaf or not mukallaf. Responsible or not responsible? So we define who is a mukallaf, who is responsible. They give you three words. Baligh, someone who hit puberty. Once you hit puberty and you start your puberty, you are a young man, young woman now in Islam. Number two, aqil, sane, so not insane, like doesn't have serious mental problem. In the eyes of Sharia, mashallah, I'm so impressed by Islam. Then 1400 years, when nobody talked about mental illness or the person should not be held responsible if they're mentally not there. But in the Sharia, if you're mentally not there, you're put a guard with you so that you don't harm yourself or someone else, and the angels are not writing good deeds or bad deeds. Khalas, your mind is not. Look at that. This is only recently people came up with that. 1400 years in the Arabian desert, baligh, mature. The word baligh means hit puberty, now mature. Two, aqil, sane. Three, hur, which means free. Look at these four words. Mukallaf, responsible. Baligh, mature. Aqil, sane. Hur, free. And subhanAllah, the word free at that time used to refer to free people versus slave. Islam, through a slow wave, removed slavery. So now free from what? Free from being slave to other people, free from being slave to social media, slave to clothing, slave to a certain brand of shoes, slave to drugs, slave to alcohol, slave to addictions. You are free. Between these two words, it holds this young man or woman in place. There's no wiggling room because Allah Azza wa Jal knows this young child who just became an adult, he's going to take a few years. So how do you deal with that? You come to the young man or woman and say, Baba, you're not a child anymore. Right now we're going to deal with you like a young man and a young woman. Do you know what is interesting? There is nothing more beloved to a 10, 11, 12 years old than tell him, we're not going to treat you like a child, because they hate being treated like children. So Islam matches the fitrah. So you come and tell them, you are a young man, you're a young woman, we're going to make a party for you or whatever you want to do, or we're going to treat you right now as what? As an adult. You're a young man or a young woman, right? So now you're responsible. So what do you see in our cultures? If you remember where we came from, that you'll find a 10 years old acting like an adult. So cute, so beautiful. An 11 years old girl acting like as if she's the mother of the house. So beautiful, right? Because you put them in that role, because you put the expectations high. They want to be treated. They're sick and tired of being child. They've been children for 10, 11 years. I'm like, I'm done with this stage of my life. Look at the Islamic approach and the Islamic culture versus the Western culture. Oh, you're a teenager? Oh, between now 13 and 19? Inshallah, you make it alive by 20. Inshallah, you don't kill yourself with this stupidity that you cannot do with it. It's almost you tell the person, you're going to be crazy, and it's okay, we understand. Who goes to some... Wallahi, you say that to a 40 years old, the 40 years old will become crazy. You tell him, listen, you are excused. Oh, I'm excused? So I can scream and yell and beat and this? Well, that's nice. Sign me up. 40 years old will start acting like a teenager. Imagine an actual young man, adolescent age. So we don't do that. My dear brothers and sisters, also for us when we deal with the Quran, I do feel that because us, the parents, have not read the Quran, when we want to construct the relationship, and I'm mentioning this because the school year has started, I know from the middle August till now, first year, so you're back from your vacation, the interaction is back alive right now. Kids go to school, come back from school, parents and children are together. Maybe some of you send your kids overseas and you come back. Right now, what type of relationship you want to construct? Muslim parents, us, when we talk about parenting in Islam, we make two extreme statements. The first statement that we make that ruins the whole thing and has nothing to do with the approach of the Quran is, what do we tell our children when we feel frustrated? They're not listening, or they're not doing what we're asking them to do, or they're doing something we ask them not to do and they're doing it. What do we say? We immediately get frustrated. Allah says in the Quran, listen to me. Allah says in the Quran, you should listen to your parents. You just ruined it, man. Did Allah actually say that in the Quran? So this is my challenge to myself and to parents. Can you please show me where does it say in the Quran, you should listen to your parents? Where is this ayah? So Allah Azza wa Jal taught us that ayah in a different way, in a different approach. There is that in the Quran, but not like the way you're saying it. What did Allah Azza wa Jal say in the Quran? That if your parents ask you to become a kafir, leave, disobey Allah, like one of two things. Disbelieve in Allah, or disobey Allah, then do not obey them. Then what is the assumption when Allah says, if they tell you this or this, do not obey them? What is the assumption? That everything else you should listen. But Allah didn't say it that way. Allah said, when they ask you to disbelieve in me, make shirk or disobey me, make ma'asiyah, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them. This word, do not obey them in these two things, in the disbelief in Allah and the shirk, means implicitly obey them in everything else. Why? Because the approach of the Quran is sophisticated. And we need to listen to the approach of Quran so that we can fix it today. Brothers and sisters, you can fix this relationship between you and your children today by following the approach of the Quran. How did Allah approach the relationship between us and our children? Number one, very interesting. Allah never says in the Quran what the parent should tell his child. Allah always tells what the child should tell his parents, should do towards his parents. It's a flipping the model. You're saying Allah said that you should tell your child this. Actually, Allah doesn't approach that. Allah approach, this is how you should treat your parents. Now, do you know why is this very important? Because that applies to you as a father, just like it applies to your son. So for your son to do what you want him to do, you should act like that with your parents. Yani, mashallah. If you are 50 years old and your parent, I just hit my 50s. My mother is still alive. Does the ayat of the Quran apply only to my children towards me, or it does apply to me towards my mom? So the same standard, and when the parents follow what Allah says to do with the grandparents, then the children will do what Allah said to do with the parents. Now here is what Allah Azza wa Jal said, what to do with the parents. Look at this model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere in the Quran says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا. Another one, إِحْسَانًا. We have, Allah used the word wasayna. Do you know what wasayna means? When someone loves someone and they take care of them and they love them and this, it's called wisaya. So for example, the mother, when she takes care of her children, that's wisaya. When you die on your deathbed, you want to tell your children the most important thing on your mind. You want to leave them with the most important nasiha, and you want to tell them, I left you with inheritance so that you don't have to beg from others. This last advice and this last wish about advice and about money is called wasiyah. It's for someone. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ. We instructed the human to take care of his parents. How? With ihsan. The highest word in the Quran is ihsan. You know, Islam, Iman, ihsan. What is ihsan? To do something good. To do it in to the best of your ability, and to do it in a beautiful way. Allah uses the word ihsan in the Quran in these three meanings. Doing something good, ihsan. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Doing something perfect. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. And doing something beautiful, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Muhsin. So what does Allah tell us? Take care of your parents with ihsan. Now look how the conversation changed. Instead of you telling your child, listen to me, Allah says in the Quran, listen to me. It's like a master-slave relationship. What do you say to your child? Hey man, dear son, Baba, take care of me. Come on, spoil me. I'm not feeling the love. Where is the love? Where is the cherish? I don't get no attention. Man, I give you all the attention, I get nothing. Take care of me. Allah says in the Quran, take care of your parents. Allah, I'm sitting down, I'm waiting. What are you going to do? Yalla, bismillah. I think I feel like a tea now. Let your child, tell your child what Allah said in the Quran. Look what Allah said. وَوَصَّيْنَا, take the word وَصَّيْنَا, put it in a golden cup. الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حُسْنًا or إِحْسَانًا. Even when Allah Azza wa Jal, four times in the Quran, Allah mentioned parents after him. Four times in the Quran. And four times in the Quran, when Allah mentioned parents after him, he mentioned treating parents with ihsan. He never mentioned, Allah says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Your Lord declared and decided and prescribed for you that you worship none but him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Look what Allah says. Four times it's like this. اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah. Obey Allah. And B, have ihsan towards your parents. Look, Allah didn't say in the Quran, worship Allah and then worship your parents. Obey Allah, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and then obey your parents. Allah always mentioned with the Allah, عِبَادَ أَنْ طَاعَ, and with the parents, ihsan. Why? Because if this dynamic of wasayna and ihsan is not there, the relationship will be ruined. What do we want from our children, my dear brothers and sisters? Many of us, I see, like your children, you know, are not interacting with you, nor you are interacting with them. I'm providing you my job as a father. I'm giving you the food, the clothes, and the house. Get me good grades and shut up. Where is the relationship? What happened? What did Allah Azza wa Jal say in the Quran? Look, when Allah says, do not obey them. Wallahi, the Quran is the most sophisticated social relationships book on the planet. Look in one breath. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهِمَا. If they fight you to commit shirk, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But befriend them. Imagine in one sentence, Allah says, do not obey them, but befriend them. How do you put that in one sentence? Only Allah can say that. Do not obey them, but befriend them. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا. Is there صُحْبَة between you and your children? And here I come to the second extreme. The first extreme, strictness. The first extreme, strictness. Allah says, listen to me, obey to me, don't talk to me, don't discuss, just do whatever. Explain, if you want to ask your child for something, explain for them the wisdom of why you're asking them to do that. At least once, not every time, but once. Explain to them why you don't want them to do something so that they know. They're not going to get it now, but believe me, wait 5 years until they become, inshallah, 25, yani about 10 years. Just 10 years of suffering, don't worry about it. You know, and then their frontal lobe will close. And then your child, everything you said from age 1 to 25 will all like come, and you will have the best child. Just have sabr. Put anger aside and apply the Quran and be yourself. The second extreme is this suhbah. Many parents, instead of being like strict parents, very strict, which is not the Quranic approach, is they want to be very easy. And then there is this concept, this dream. I don't know who put this dream in our head, but I do this therapy to so many parents. I take them from hand. I make them cross the bridge while they're crying. Oh, I thought I was going to be the best friend of my child. Who said you're going to be your child's best friend? Do you know your best friend? If you tell your child I'm your best friend, then you told them to do what to do and what not to do. Do you know your best friend doesn't tell you what to do and what not to do? And if he does, he will not be your best friend anymore. So what suhbah is Allah talking about? It's not friendship of equals. It is friendship meaning you're having conversations. Do you ask your child when they come home, how are you? How was the school today? What did you eat? What did you guys talk about? What was classes? Anything interesting? And then your turn. Let me tell you what happened with me today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you know most of you do not even tell your own children what you are sacrificing for them? Ya akhi, talk to them. And when you say it, don't be angry. Don't be upset. I am doing this for you. No, not like that. Bring them. Again, bring a cup of tea. Tell your child, bring a cup of tea, right? Your child, let them bring and sit down, mashallah, and explain to them what you're going through for them so that they will understand. And believe me, what you're going them for, when you tell them, when they grow up, they will do it for their children. But the problem is not you're not telling them anything. Just get me good grades. What is this? Are we in the military or something? Just obey the commands. Ask first and ask questions later. And better if you never ask questions. That's not the tarbiyah, my dear. You know tarbiyah. And it's from the word rub and rubu, from the word even riba. Riba means something growing. When it grows in halal, mashallah, it is halal. When it grows in haram, it's called riba. But it's a growth. Rub is the one who grow you. It's a long-term relationship. My dear brothers and sisters, if we don't establish our relationship with our children based on the words of the Quran, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَلَدِهِ إِحْسَانَا أَنْ حُسْنَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا, befriend them. You see, Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran says, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the wali of the believer. Then also Allah says in the Quran, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that the mu'mineen are awliya. So is Allah my wali, same like the believer is my wali? No. Allah is my wali, Allah is my Rabb and my caretaker. When I talk to my Muslim brother and sister, you're my wali, you got my back. At least I don't expect you to be God to me. Allah is my God. The same. Suhba between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, it's not the same suhba between two friends the same age. Please differentiate, because this idea that you want to become the best friend of your child, please drop it, because it doesn't work. It's not part of the fitrah. Your children have their best friends at school, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make their best friends a good friend. And I'll tell you, this is the biggest part of parenting. I believe the biggest part and the easiest part is what we parents are not doing. Right now, your child is 5 years old. Right now, go and scan all the families in the community and find out who's going to be the friend of my child for the next 15 years. The kids, the friends that your child grow up with at childhood, the first 10, 15 years,
are going to save him, and he's going to save them for the next 25 years, 40 years. The easiest thing is to fight good ashab. That's why we have to come to the masjid. We have to make the masjid where our children find their best friends. Because your child and you, the father and the child, the mother and the daughter, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ala dini khalili." You will have the deen of your friend. So let one of you see who his friend is. That's a hadith. So do you want your kid to be good? Find him a good friend. When do you find him a good friend? Not when he is 17, 18. Too late. When he's 3, 4, 5, 6. By 6, first grade, if you haven't found a good circle of friends for your son and daughter, you are in the circle of danger. I'm telling you right now. Especially with all the change right now in the public school curriculum and what they have infused. From age 5, you have to make sure who's the circle of friends. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, وَصَّيْنَا إِحْسَانَا صَاحِبْهُمَا. And what does Allah say? How to talk to your parents? وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Speak to them in an honorable way and in a generous way. In an honorable way and in a generous way. My dear brothers and sisters, my advice to the children. I don't know whether you are 25 or younger and you still want something from your dad and your dad is not agreeing with you or your mom is not agreeing with you. It does not work that you argue with your parents when they are saying their opinion. If your father is upset, let him have his moment. Let him be upset. Don't be upset the same time that your father is upset. Don't be upset the same time your mother is upset. You are not equal. Let her have her moment. Okay, hadir, no problem. Then later on, you go and bring the tea that I've been talking about the whole khutbah, and you sit down with your mother and father, and you say, what? And you say, wallahi, I just want to, you know, talk with you in this, and you make it suhbah. I just want to explain to you, subhanallah, if you don't argue with your parents and go against them head to head, and you come back and you explain nicely, and you explain your reasons, and there is no harm, most likely your parents will listen to you, and maybe they will work with you. The problem is when you start going head to head, resentment, hatred, head to head, disagreement, animosity. Why? Why? Who wants to go home to that? But you want to go home. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Look what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Lower the wing of humility with mercy. Two words. You want to be humiliated? Don't allow yourself to be humiliated by any human, except what, two humans, your mom and dad. Allah says, lower the wing of humility. It's okay. Your father humiliated you? It's okay. He's your father. Your mother humiliated you? It's okay. The only two people that it's okay is your mom and dad. Why? Because it will pay off. Why? Because you have to realize something, my dear and sisters. Allah, the way He created us is ajeeb. Every cell in your body, and there is about 50 to 70 trillion cells, more than there is stars in the observable universe. 52 trillion cells, every cell in your body, half of it from mom, half of it from dad. I just want to tell that to our youth, because you know if you say, I hate my mom, do you know what you're saying? You're saying, I hate half of me. If you say, I hate my dad, you're saying, I hate half of me. If you hate your mom and dad, you hate all of you. Because every cell in your body, literally, not figuratively, literally, chromosomes, we're talking about, half from mom, half from dad. Never ever hate your mom and dad. Never ever put it that you should prove to your dad that he's wrong and you are right. That your mom is wrong and she got it all. Never ever make that a goal in your life. Let go of it and come back with nice talking, with qawlan kareema. Look at the words of the Quran. Qawlan kareema. Lower the wing of humility and be merciful. Ya'ani, subhanallah, you are bothered that your dad told you take the garbage out of the house? Help me clean the kitchen? Help me set up the guests? Oh! Do you know what your dad and mom are going through at work, especially if they work? Do you know what their boss is telling them? Please tell them so that they know what real life looks like. Tell them how much you exercise and you exercise patience at work and how you come home to be loved and respected. You need to set up the stage, brothers and sisters. Look at your house. You know, is there ayat of the Quran around the house? Is there asma'ullahi al-husna around the house? Is there قل هو الله أحد قل عفلا قل عرب الناس or mashallah the TV is working 24/7 one episode after another soap operas Pakistani soap operas Egyptian soap operas and it's all drama as if our life is not already a drama and we need to watch more drama to make our life more drama subhanallah if you want to watch drama watch your own life that's enough my dear brothers and sisters what is running on the TV is there Quran running Do your children watch cartoons, the stories of the Prophet ﷺ from their childhood? Do you watch things, do you watch nature and you say subhanallah with your children about the wild animals, about this, about that? Do you watch the right thing? Do you sit down and watch nature and say subhanallah about the oceans, about the stars, about the wild animals, about the birds, about the butterflies? Sit down, if you want to watch, watch that. And learn while you're watching and say subhanallah. If you want to watch something right now, mashallah, there's so many movies and this that have Islamic background that you can watch and enjoy, you know, if you want to sit down and watch. But brothers and sisters, what is in the house background noise? Shaitan or Kalamur Rahman? What is in the background? I want to know. Because when you set up the Quran in your house and Quran in the morning, wallahi al-azim, I grew up on the salt. I fell in love with the Qari Muhammad Sadiq al-Minshawi. And Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari, because my dad used to love the Minshawi, and mom and mom used to love al-Husari. So my dad, when he wakes up, they'll start running al-Minshawi. And my mom will wait until he leaves to work, then she puts al-Husari. So I fell in love, and it even affected my qira'ah. For the people who know the old Qari, I ended up mixing al-Husari with Minshawi, and that's what I read in my salah. Do your children have that? Do you have an adhan clock at home? The adhan calls five times? Do you have something good running on TV? Do you have some iman, something in the air? Because otherwise everybody will be angry. Everybody screaming at everybody. Where is that from the ayat of the Quran? Change the dynamics from listen to me to take care of me. And show your child how to take care of you the way you take care of your parents. Your parents are overseas. Oh, I don't have time. Do you call them every other day? At least, do you call them once a week? If your child doesn't see you doing that, why would your child call you every day and every week when he goes to college? You didn't set up the example. So whatever we're trying to teach our children, we should practice ourselves. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفرونه والغفور الرحيم